I'm glad to be speaking with you tonight. We have an awful lot to be talking about. Holy mackerel. This is a show about you and I learning to shift our frequency. And I have to tell you that I've gotten myself really, really, really frustrated down in the dumps and so on for a couple of hours today about the world situation, not just today, off and on for a while, about the world situation and all the wars and the hoodly-hoo and the blah-bitty-blah. And you look around and I go, oh my God, the world's getting smaller and smaller and we're beating each other up more and more. What are we going to do? And then I started watching that series on cancer. I don't know how many of you are watching it, but I really recommend it. But it tells you about the big pharma and how they literally made a deal to be the monopoly in the beginning of the 1900s. There's a whole bunch of things that I think I know, but when they're pinpointed like that, you go, holy crap, what is going on? Are we enslaved or what? And are we enslaving others? I don't want to get into the whole thing. But it really got me down in the doodles for a while until I was roaming around, walking the dog, because I'm dog sitting right now. Wonderful dog out here in Topanga Canyon. And it's very beautiful here. And I'm walking the dog and I'm realizing something, which you already know and I already know. Radiance by design. The world, remember in the Bhagavad Gita, which somebody said or several people have said, it's like 27,000 years old, maybe. But it's at least 8,000 years old, that much we're sure about. And it still is a foundational scripture for a lot of the religious beings in Hinduism and so on. And it's just an amazing, amazing conscious epic poem, very beautiful, all about having to follow your own dharma, having to be in truth with yourself, and learning to move past things like jealousy, competition, stealing from one another, and all the various things. Like the job is an inside job. What we have to do is learn to handle ourselves deeply inside, and that becomes a real deal, doesn't it? Because deeply inside, because I'm turning on my recorder here because I want to be able to hear all this. Okay. Deeply inside of ourselves, we are the ones that are grappling with what we are experiencing, but not on the outside. So if there's a war out there and we're in it, it's more about whether we're learning to be peaceful, loving, transformative, supportive, are we in service, all of these different things. A, B, are we learning how to be the truth of who we are, to be in our dharma? Those are huge things for us to learn, aren't they? And as I started to cogitate that, I go, okay, the world is a mess. But if you think about the days of Arjuna, whether it's 27,000 years or 8,000 years ago, That's exactly what the problem was. Somebody got up to, got in power and took all the resources and took the homes, and people were suffering and blah, blah, blah. And a war was created, led by Arjuna, to sort of sort things out. And what he was advised by the Avatar is, if you are the warrior, you have to step in because it's your dharma. So there was that whole issue about war and battle, but you go in there to save the people, to serve the people, and also to complete instead of letting the damage be done and that everybody would be stolen from. You go in there to resolve the day because that's your dharma. That's who you are, and that means in many lifetimes you have prepared for this job. Okay, that doesn't mean go in and nuke them. It means you go in and you battle until you gracefully come to a conclusion which provides a home and a place for all kinds of people. So I realized, you know, that there's parallel there with what's going on right now. I thought about it a lot, and I thought, you know, the news, which is another part of that, the enslavement routine. I'm going to use heavy words like enslavement, because the news is a bought and paid for kind of thing to get a whole bunch of people to be either in agreement or to expect limitations or all of these other things. You know, you don't just hear the good stuff. So you and I are working our little selves, our hearts out, to become higher frequency beings. And as Eckhart Tolle and several other people have said, or several other great teachers have said, you know, we're going to raise our fields in frequency, raise our fields in frequency, raise our fields in frequency. And when you change the energy, you change the reality. And the reality that we're working for, the oneness, the unity reality that we're all blessing one another for all around the world, is like we're going to be living in a different world. You could call it a parallel world. Some people say the earth's going to split in two. I'm not quite that sure about that part. But I do know this, that if you change, if you and I are at loggerheads and we change our energy, we will find ways to decide on the life that we want and to make it a win-win, because the energies will be expanding. And if you and I are expanding our energies consciously instead of bopping each other over the head or blowing up each other's houses, if we're expanding our energy and that sort of thing, we can literally be a consortium or camaraderie all over the world, can't we? We can be beings who are creating and establishing a whole different society all around the world. So the others could go ahead and beat each other up and steal the resources and destroy things as we know it. But you and I are going to work in a world where we're considering things at a much higher level. We're coming from the heart. We're using tender, loving care for all of the animals and the trees and the weather and the atmosphere. We're all going to just focus on that. We're the ones that are going to really make it different. And as far as I understand, I don't understand. What I want to say is, as far as I can figure out in my envisioning and so on, we have a capacity to live in a kind of a parallel situation in which we're all supporting a huge successful change round and round and round our globe. I really believe that that's possible. So when I got myself all down in the doodles and really depressed, I had descended into that other world. And it wasn't until I suddenly went pop and I moved up and out of it that I started to feel better. Whoa! Sometimes you have to really, radiance by design, sometimes we have to really crank that old handle to get the design to move back up and where we can really see the potential of being together in this and helping each other to raise our fields and frequency and see beyond the grottier aspects of life on this planet. You get what I mean? And I hope tonight some of you are going to call in. I really need you to. I'm questioning a lot of things right now. One of the things I'm questioning is whether or not to carry on with this show. And I have some people out there who have been very clear with me that they listen all the time. So if that's you guys, maybe you want to call in or you want to send me an instant message on Skype or an email or a text message on 520-360-2102. Text 520-360-2102. And we're going to talk about all of that because I want to serve, and this show was really about me wanting to answer questions for people for free and also to teach, you know, because I charge for my sessions normally, and I wanted to have a way where you could all access this for no charge at all, and that part of it's been enjoyable. But I think it was last week where somebody said, well, you might have had 30 listeners. I'm going, that's not very much. It's a lot of work to do the show, and I really love it, and I love talking to you, and I love radio. But I would like to consider how else to do it. So that's the question that's up. No big decisions yet, but I'm looking forward to your opinions. I know that that would be wonderful. Somebody else suggested that I should start reading my book or parts of my book on this show. So we'll think about that as well. But before we go any farther into that, I want to say to you, please do call in tonight. So let's do our collective, our coherent meditation. I really want us all to remember that when we do that together, whether you've called in or not, we literally help one another in a big way. And we we talked about the two worlds. We radiate higher fields and frequencies and make it much easier for us all to lift into that other world, the world of possibility, the worlds of love, the worlds of creation, the worlds of support, the worlds of invention. Oh my goodness, all the inventions that could happen. Imagine, can you imagine if the world we were living in was a win-win world? What could we create? Because mankind has learned so many things. One of the things they said on one of those cancer things last night was, can you imagine if instead of smashing up things like Rife machines and a lot of other technological machines that really helped people's health, like hyperbaric, they used to have whole rooms that were hyperbaric, high oxygen, and they had pianos in there and couches and stuff, and people would go in and sit around and their cancer would get better. They would just go in and enjoy each other. Well, they all got smashed up because they were, are you ready, threatening the system. So what if a lot of the things, even Tesla was held back because he was getting in the way of the oil industry. So if you look at all that stuff, what would have happened if all of these amazing healing gadgets and if that consciousness was really allowed to be shared on the planet? I wonder how much we would have evolved, eh? I know we've evolved in a lot of ways, but there certainly is a lot of dissonance about it, isn't there? There's a lot of difficulty. People don't like change, so if you're going to change the way things are done, then you get into big trouble. But what if we had a complicity? What if we had an agreement that change that was beneficial to humanity or to life on the planet, if that was acceptable, gosh, what would happen? So let's talk about that too when you call in. So in the meantime, let's do our coherent meditation, our sacred geometrics. And see above you a golden ball, maybe 2 miles up. And below your spine, another golden ball. Maybe it's only 40 feet down. And drop a filament of gold light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. And on the upper golden ball, I want to see you drop a three-sided gold pyramid, and upside down, another three-sided pyramid, and its point goes into the lower golden ball. And the two pyramids meet base to base. Push them out a little bit so you have room to play inside of them. And when they meet base to base, it creates a diamond shape, doesn't it? And now inside of that, there's a crystal ball, a beautiful shimmering crystal ball. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron. It's a beautiful star. It's a beautiful, beautiful three-dimensional star. And you're inside of that. And the star tetrahedron, or the star around your body mind, is like your Merkaba or your Merkaba, which is your light body. And it's your vehicle of change. It's your vehicle of moving through the dimensions and moving through the universes. Yeah, and I want you to spin and spin and spin and spin in this beautiful star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin. And then in front of you, whilst you're spinning, it's very stable. See, a wonderful big screen. And on that screen, on the first part of the screen, I want you to see there you, a movie that you're creating, you becoming what it is you want to become. And see yourself morphing and emerging. What is it you want to become? Yeah, I always say the same thing. I want to become multi-dimensional, consciously multi-dimensional. All right, I can do that, right? And I see myself in this beautiful movie becoming more and more able to speak to you from any dimension.
Good.
I think it was Jim Self I was listening to. He's one of my paradigm shifters. He was talking about the fourth, your third dimension, right? Fourth dimension is simply concepts. It's simply what's in your mind and visions and so on. And the fifth dimension is where you actually can live very differently. Put a lot of the, so what might be really hard in the third dimension might be really easy and fluid on the fifth dimension. And then you start to see the difference. And the fourth dimension is kind of the link where it's what you imagine and what you envision. So I want to see myself being consciously multidimensional. We'll get to the other dimensions next week. And then I want to wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and then we're going to start another film here, another movie. And this movie is you creating something that you want to create. Good. And you want to see the picture of what all the resources come. You want to see the picture of what it is you want to create. It could be home and family. It could be world travel. It could be space travel. It could be a book. It could be a movie. It could be a swimming pool. Anything you want to create, okay? And now we're going to see all the resources come together, the money, the places, the people, the time, the buildings, everything you need to create whatever it is you want to create. And when it comes to fruition, see yourself having all the resources, the time, the money, the people, the support, and so on, to keep your project going for as long as it's natural for it. Yeah. Good. And when you feel like that's happening, wrap it in light, move it over to the left. That'll keep it stewing. And now we're going to create the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, you and I have a huge, huge team of wonderful beings of many different consciousnesses around us. And now when you reach up with your mind as a sculpting tool, call in the beings that are amazing healers, that are wonderful healers. You can just feel the energy buzz as we start bringing them in. And in the Galactic Healing Center, there's this wonderful table. It's a healing table. And have your team step around it. So they're just circling around the table. And the first person who goes in and lies down is you or me. So go lie on your table. And what is it that you'd like to be working on? Good. And now ask your healing team. You might look at them and see who they are. Ask your healing team for a little help. Good. And sometimes you don't know what you want. I know what that's like. So ask them what would be really the best thing for you. Okay, and quite often they'll say things that you really want to hear, and you better just sort of digest them. Take a minute and digest those things that they're telling you. Okay, I'm getting a little reading from them. What are you getting? I hope when you call in a little later, you'll tell me. Wrap that in light and keep it stewing away. Now we're going to put in a fresh table. And who's going to come in on our fresh table? There is one woman who has a lot of physical problems, but she phoned to say that she is finding out now that she's very, very angry. And what can she do about the anger? She said if she screams and yells, her body is so precarious it could really hurt things. So I want anybody, how many of you can bring your anger in and get that put or put people on it who are really angry and have them lie on the table And let's see what the teams, the healing teams, do with the people that are really angry. And I see it's really funny because we have a group of team, the team here, moving around the table. But all of a sudden, when we're asking about anger, a whole bunch of layers of other healing beings come in and just pack the room. I'm like, okay, anger's a big deal. Why on earth would we be angry? We already know that the whole world is a little bit goofy and it's not looking after one another. That's one little thing. And then there's the whole bunch of disappointments and all the other things. We don't even need to go into the why. We want you. Yeah, that's right. To bring. Oh, good. Thank you. We've got a caller, and I'll get you to wait just at least for this part of the Galactic Healing Center. So I want you to call up your anger. Even if you think you don't have it, everybody's got some, right? Call up your anger. My being, my wonderful healing being is on the table, but each of you has some anger. So bring it up and have your own healing team around you work on that. How are they wanting you to help? If you yell, and is it necessary to yell, to holler? Is it necessary to really explode? What's necessary? And what they're saying is something you and I know, which is focus. Wrap yourself in light and focus on your rage and your anger. See where it is in your body. Just focus on it and say, I want the whole darn it thing up here. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. And then if you want, you can call in because the healing team is working. Actually, it's working a lot on people's base ganglion at the base of the spine. Because some of that anger has come through lifetimes of sublimated expression or lifetimes of unjust treatment or lifetimes of running for your life or lifetimes of you pick a thing, anything. So they're going right into the base chakra, which is not where I always think anger is going to be. And so they're right at the base of the spine. It's not just the base chakra. It's right into the base of the spine where the ganglia is. And they're working on that and they're working on that. Now bring up your anger. Come on, don't hide it. Allow yourself to have it. And have it move out. So for the woman who said, well, if I yell and scream, I could hurt myself, I'm saying you don't really have to do that. Focus, if you're listening tonight as well, focus on the ganglia, the base of your spine, and feel in your body, mind. There's a number of ways that you feel. You can feel helpless in your arms. You can feel a heart ache in your chest. You can feel a lump in your throat. Just bring it all up and tenderly care for it. Let's care for it. Oh, there's the back of my thighs. Oh, there's my vaginal area. Oh, there's the stomach. Oh, you see, you just keep bringing it up. Bringing it up. Don't argue with it, you guys. You can't argue with it. You just bring it up, even if you don't like it, right? And then they're saying that you can move, my friend, you can move anger really well if you let yourself be in it and don't stop it. Don't even stop it. And if you can't yell and scream because it might hurt you, just open your mouth and imagine yelling and screaming. That'll work. Oh, okay. And the guides are saying this, is that you'll have to do it more than once. It becomes kind of a stream of old energies that come out after a while. Good. And now we're going to run some light up through the body. And the healing teams are wrapping this whole scenario in light, moving it over to the left. Now we're going to take a, I would say a station identification break, but actually it's a caller break because I'm so glad to have callers. Good evening. You're on the air and I'm so glad.
Hi, it's Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I like the meditation. Very nice.
Good, good, good. Did you move anything?
Well, I thought it as a solar plexus thing, and I see anger as being very creative. I see it
good.
As being, you know, creativity requires destruction as well as construction. opportunities.
Well, that's true.
In the creative zone, when you're in the creative zone, you're actually both, what is it, that goddess Kali, Hindu goddess Kali, which is the goddess of creation and destruction.
That's right.
I'm quoting that right. And you know, so it really is, in duality, you have to have a balance. And so there's that need to create that sometimes gets frustrated and then turns into what we think of as bitterness or anger. If you suppress it, it becomes bitterness.
Just said something really important. I don't want to let it slip by, which is if you suppress it. Suppressed anger is very dangerous, isn't it, for any of us?
Well, yeah, of course it turns into disease in the body because the body creates out of emotion. So it's going to create something that reflects the negative energy. And if you suppressing it is not good, but then, directing it as a creative force and understanding that anger actually burns off depression, which is depression. If you suppress something for long enough, it turns into the emotion of depression.
Well, that's true, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I retranslate for myself as being, I'm in creative frustration mode here. I naturally want to create, I naturally like creative flow. And when I feel suppressed or blocked, for whatever reason, usually not for reasons of my own, but for what I feel is outside of me, meaning that it feels like it's outside of me, not inside of me, then I just allow myself to retranslate that. And that basically gives me, it's sort of like a baby who don't know how, they don't know what they're feeling, and there's a creative moment in that, in being able to retranslate it. That's not a suppression in any way. But it's a way of almost forgiving yourself for having those powerful creative emotions, to understand that they are creative in nature.
I think that's really good. And you're an artist, so have you used, going back to anger and getting it out of ourselves, don't you think sometimes just being creative is a great way to use anger as an engine? That's what I think. When I'm angry, I've often written or sung or danced and it really helps,
Yeah, and not only that, it's a catalyst. I mean, the art forms are catalysts. They transform energy, emotional energy, into actual physical form. So,
right.
When I was dealing with heavy emotions, I'd write poetry that was, incredibly, powerful, and that poetry, I still think of some of the images. Like I had one image that said, on the mountain, excuse the train here, I don't know if you can hear that, but it said basically the mountains that walk in the night. And that thought, that feeling of these mountains that are moving at night, it's a very powerful image. And these things would just come to me, just as a gift. It's just dropping from, manna from heaven, And the moving effect of these poems when I read them to other people, that's even more fun, to find someone else who responds to these things, not putting them out there officially, but, that's another thing. So it's very transformative in nature to do that. Take an art form, and whether it's not a matter of whether you're good at it or not, but to take it, to take something that's moving in your body and it needs some kind of outlet, and to give it an outlet that then, in the process, changes it into art. It's an amazing thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful thing. And I think that drops us back into the fact that art is emotionally fed, also dimensionally fed, but it's emotionally fed on many levels, isn't it?
Not all art. I mean, I couldn't do this in painting. I couldn't do the same thing in painting. When I have a lot of emotions, I don't choose painting. So, no, it's not all art. And not all art is emotionally fed. But emotions are what we primarily use to create with on this planet. So, to deny
guidance across them, or
I think emotions emotions do run through us and tweak our artistic nature. You know, the sensing of the beauty of this or that. I really think that that's a part of humanity that is without words a lot of the time. You know.
Yeah, I would probably call that a feeling instead of an emotion. But, you know, there are different art forms for different purposes, and particularly for an individual. You know, for me, painting is not an emotionally run thing, but poetry is. And I don't even know if I wrote poetry today whether I would still approach it in the same way, because I simply don't have the same emotions that I used to
have. Yeah, but you know what? That's true all the time. Because we don't have the same emotions, and we do change as we grow. But anyway, I think I should probably move on. And you're always interesting, Aaliyah.
Fun. Any good words for me?
Yeah, I feel like you're coming through a time of kind of a new opening. There's something about your throat. Now, remember, everybody at home, is that the throat chakra, to me, I always see it as the way we squeeze wisdom out of so many levels of our experience. And the neck, of course, is consciousness of self. And when I look at you, Aaliyah, there's something big going on with the thyroid and that throat chakra right now, which tells me, So we could say, going back to the emotions, we could say, or even anger, that what you're ringing out in your neck right now is coming from your experiences, and it's kind of the nectar of response that's giving you a real hit of your own expansion, your own growth. And I think there's somebody coming in to help you with something that's kind of like a job or a marketing of something that you're doing. There's someone coming in. There's a woman coming in, and then there's a man that she connects to. And both these things are going to really move your next step in the world. And you want that a lot. Seems to have been slow for you for a while.
A long time.
Yeah, well, it looks like you're turning a corner.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you say thyroid, I think high heart. So the connection of the high heart or the seat of the soul with the throat is, you know, definitely there. I can feel that. And I feel that a lot of the emotional stuff that might have been my reaction to what a lack of progress on the exterior world in my life, a lot of that's been dealt with.
Yeah. Good. Well, your throat is working it out. And it's going to come out in your words later. I don't know if it's words. I say words, but it's expression. Now, what does that mean? Anything that you do. Expression.
Yeah.
I think it'll come out in the form of something paid, and some expression, and a couple of new people that really help you with that and help you develop a market. And what I do see that's very sweet, Aaliyah, is a part of you feeling like, oh, you know, it's like I've been learning and growing and learning and growing and learning and growing. When do I get to put it out there?
Yeah, right. Well, it's
good
a certain
job. And so
sort
we
of
expect
relaxation.
You to send a report to us, right?
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Talk to you personally. Since you do those sessions for people, and I always like to say that, you know, Veronica, you know, is an amazing healer and psychic, and it is well worth getting a session with her.
Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. And I'm always glad to talk to you. Now, I think we'll go back into the Galactic Healing Center. Maybe we won't do any more anger tonight. That's enough of that, right? Thanks, Aaliyah.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. So now here we're going back into the Galactic Healing Center. And who are we going to bring in now? The healing team is waiting around this fresh table. There's three tables this time. And they're bringing in, probably prompted by Aaliyah's call. Oh, I see. Okay. So we're bringing in a kind of... it's a suppression. We're bringing in three people that are very suppressed, and we're going to work with that. One of them is a young woman, and And I won't say we're going to deal with anger, except that there's no way that if you have suppression, you're not actually dealing with anger, right? Okay, so we've got a young woman here, and she's got a lot of suppression, but under it, I see it kind of like a piquancy, a kind of an anger. And then beside that, there's a man who's he's lost his job, I believe, and he feels very suppressed. He's worked very hard in his life. He's in his 50s, probably. And it looks like he has been replaced, or his job has been, I guess, annihilated, because it looks like all of a sudden he just lost his job. And he doesn't know whether to cry or be sad or be angry. He doesn't know what to feel. So, and we're going to help him. And then there's a fellow here who is kind of trapped. Remember, we're dealing with suppressions here. And he's sort of trapped because he's very, 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 very musical and really brilliant. And he's not able to find his roots in this particular society. Oh, goody, we have another caller. So we'll just finish with these three people, and then we'll work with you. Anyway, this fellow, both these people, all three of them actually, but mostly the two men, are finding it really hard to find roots in this society. And that's because what used to be security is changing, is it not? So we're asking the healing teams to stand around. Remember, the teams replicate themselves. We're asking them to move round and round and round these tables of beings. And and help them, and one of them, good, and help them. And they're asking these people, they're working on their bellies, which is the subconscious, karma, everything left over, all kinds of stuff about authority that's in there. And remember, this fellow, particularly the one in the middle who just lost his job, he is... Now, I'm saying is we're working on the belly, but they say, the guides are saying, he is heartbroken. But remember, neurotransmissions come up first in your belly, in your intestinal tract. So they're saying he is heartbroken. And so we can translate that for each of these three people with different manifestations. And the heartbroken, because what they thought of was security, is not security anymore. Everything's changing. So how do we deal with the loss of security? And what they've done is suppress themselves in order to try to fit into the values of a society that's values are all changing. Can you imagine how chaotic that is for those of you who are experiencing that? That's really hard. So the guides are putting their hands on the heads of these three people to calm their brain patterns. And the other of the guides are putting their hands flat on the belly of these beings. Good. And now it's making me yawn because they're moving all kinds of weird energies through these people. Remember, we're dealing with security and how security is changing on this rapidly changing world. And what they're good. Okay, so what's coming up in these people? They're being infused with, remember from the Bhagavad Gita, they're being infused with their kind of dharma, the purpose of their lives, instead of the way they had concocted security in their own thinking. That is really valuable. So instead of your identity being linked to a consistent pattern in the world, your identity is going to deepen into who you really are, what it is you love, what it is you love to do, even the people that you love and how you love and what does it all mean. And all three of these people are moving. Their energy is moving very deeply inside. Our musician, I see mostly his red chakra is moving like mad, and he's got like lights moving right up through his body and again into his throat. And the middle fellow who'd lost his job, his energy is lightening up very swiftly. And our young woman whose throat, whose anger was there probably fueling the ability to move her suppression. But in any case, she's starting to feel more peaceful. I can see her eyes calm down and she's feeling a lot happier. So we're getting each of those healing teams to wrap your being in light and move them over to the left. And we'll just wave our arms too. And we're going to take this call. I'm really glad that we have a caller. You're welcome to say hello. I want to hear from you. Hello.
Hi, Veronica. Hi,
Hi.
Veronica. It's Judy.
Hi,
How
Judy.
Are you?
How are you? I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I was wondering, have you ever heard of the Burning Man Festival?
Oh, yeah. There were 60,000 people there this year.
Wow. I just learned about this tonight.
Wow, really?
And I was I know. I'm a little out of touch, I guess.
How did you learn
Have
about
you ever been?
No, I
actually on a show I was watching and I guess Oprah's doing this big belief thing and people have gone there to reconstruct their lives and it was really what sparked this is when you and I were talking about building communities and releasing and being more community oriented. When I learned of this, I thought of you. And how much that burns within you, So I guess maybe we should start a burning woman.
Maybe the burning part we don't need unless we use that for burning up suppressions and burning up our angers and allowing one another to be transcendent. Maybe that would be the thing.
Right.
But Burning Man, I've heard, has changed quite radically now. But anyway, we don't need to talk about that unless people want to call in and talk about their experiences. So how are you doing?
Yeah,
What's
I was just curious. Well, I was listening to the last caller about, the expression through art and writing, and that is true. That has helped quite a bit to write and to move through grief and or whatever it is. What I've learned through you is the whole belly thing. And I guess where I get stuck... and what I'm trying to process is how to remove, even though I'm doing the writing, even if it's little snippets of things, it's still there. You know what I mean? I guess it's my inability to fully release it. And I'm wondering if there's another technique as writing or whether it's drawing, whatever it is there something that can be done through whether it be a meditation while writing or do you see where I'm going with this?
Are you talking about grief or anger? Are you talking about really deep
everything.
Loss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything. Whatever one is going through, is there something like I'm very tool oriented, as you know, and tools work for me. And I was sitting here thinking as I was listening, there has to be something that I can do as I'm, whether it's writing or whatever it is, screaming, that I can fully release it because it just feels like it's always there, like this rock, this, mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it.
Is it right in like your stomach or in your belly?
I'd say belly.
Okay. Let's everybody at home, everybody's got some version of grief, don't we? Now, Judy, I have to say that one of the things that I think, and I've had a lot of grief in my life, too, but one of the it's the reason. Grief is really transformative, and it's the reason we write the book. It's the reason we dance the dance. It's the reason we take a chance, but it usually takes quite a while to get to that reactive place, which is essentially that I have less to lose or I have nothing to lose, And often it propels people to do stuff that is closer to their dharma. Remember the dharma word?
Right.
Yeah. It often has a huge, huge transformative effect on people. But in the meantime, and it might take a long time, it depends how much of yourself, when we have grief, it usually, and this is for everybody at home, it usually means we've lost someone. And in that losing of someone, whether we've lost through separation or death or, the separation can be cruel or it can be, it gets complicated. But the thing about it is that the grief is the most intense depending on how much of yourself has to die when that person goes. You see? Meaning how,
right.
And this is true for everybody, when you think about your identity and you think about your bonding. I was just reading an article yesterday that talked about how, what is love? And she said, basically, love is dependency. And of course, we can all object to that. I want to object to that. But it's worth taking that like a piece of gum and chewing it and chewing it and chewing it. Because in your case, and I'm looking at several people out there right now, and that there's a number of people who have had losses that they're, one of you I can see out there, in your loss, you haven't yet found your own identity. Your loss is still weighing, and this is not you, Judy, but your loss is still weighing you down in such a way that you're not anywhere near your own identity. And so let's go back to the tools. Because like if I'm married, and you know that I was widowed many years ago, but I was very, very sure that I'd be married for a long time, right? And then when he died, he left me in a bit of a mess, which people do, you know, when they die young. And my identity, everything that I was hooked up with, all the people, the work, the politics, you name it, none of it was really me. It was not my dharma. It was his. So when he died, he took all of that part of my identity with him, you see? Not because anybody wanted to. It's just the way we hook up, the way my dependency allowed my identity to forge itself according to what we were doing. So I'm seeing a number of you out there who have versions of grief, and it's not all the same. But I want you all to look at this. Like, how much of your identity has been pulled away by the loss of this person, or the loss of this relationship, or the loss of this job, or the loss of whatever it is that's leaving you in a grief. A lot of times the jobs will throw people into a tizwa because some people's job is their identity. So we go back to the same thing, you see? Do you see what I mean? It's
right.
Like,
right.
So you want to take your piece of paper and you want to sketch out what, who you are. The guides are going like this, who you are. And then you can have several columns. One is, who am I? Just myself. And then, who am I with that person or that job or that city or whatever it is you're grieving about? Or that history or those parents, right? Who am I myself? Who am I with them? Or who am I without them? And it's like any of the work we do that is tools for finding out about our subconscious and ourselves, you do it over and over again. You don't do it once, because if you do it once, you just get one answer. You know, and,
right.
And so you want to keep pulling up. This is who I am. Oh, is it? Or is that who I was with him? For me, that was a heck of a learning curve, and it took me a long time. Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely
And I think
huge.
You're right. I think we tend to lose our identity within certain relationships, whether it be interpersonal, friendship, you know. And I think we also lose oftentimes the art of compromise, and I think that's, at least for me, that's where I became lost.
Well, there's a whole other thing, too, is we don't just... I mean, I think we don't just lose our identity. We think we're, what is it we think? We think we're bonding well by harmonizing with them and so on. And the art of not losing our identity becomes kind of, we just don't even see it. We don't even see it because most of us, let's go back to dharma, that beautiful word dharma. Most of us don't really know our dharma. So say you get married and live happily ever after starting at 22 years old. Most of us are not on our path. Most of us aren't sharing who we really are. Most of us are identifying with our marital status. Now, I know that kids are smarter
That's
these
true.
Days. They don't get married so young. But, you know, that was pretty, when I was a kid, boy, 22 was late. And people were so proud to be in a certain marital status, right? But nobody said, right. Well, be who you really are first. So I don't know how you feel about that. But as far as tools go, I really keep seeing you writing lists, who I am in this relationship. Which parts of me are missing since the relationship is gone? And one day you'll have a short list. One day you'll have a long list. One day you'll go through a whole roll of toilet paper using each. You know what I mean?
Okay, and, I've gone through several.
But the thing about it is that it really is uncanny how subtle those weavings are. And I think grief is a really deep plunge that can be, and it's not always a guarantee, but it can be a route into who you really are. So, one more thing, and then you get to talk if you would like to. Grief is a way to fall right down through, to me anyway, the belly area, the second chakra, which is to me is, in a cheeky way, I say it's always everyone else's influence. So I'm standing in the back of my own womb saying, who am I in the middle of all this? And the influences are lineage, karma, sexuality, mom, dad, school teachers, God in the church, anything that's been an authority that helped develop who you are, you see. So this is kind of like Alice's fall through the rabbit hole, right?
Rabbit hole.
I think grief is a lot of times like that. You lose your balance, you lose your focus, you can't figure out the direction you're going in. And sometimes just to keep itemizing, who am I? Who am I in the relationship? Who am I without the relationship? I remember feeling like I was nothing. I was like nothing. It was hard to be anything, you know? Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. I'm definitely going through that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
Going through that myself.
This is the thing I want to say to everybody, and you too, Judy, that doesn't mean you're an idiot because you're thinking like that. Is when we bring up, and this is not about jealousy, but even I always tell people, bring up things like jealousy, bring up things like competition, bring up things like, oh God, my dependency, I don't know who I am. Bring those things up and take a look at them. Take out your pencil and draw them. Draw what they look like. Feel what they look like. Bring them up, because if you don't know, they suck you down. And it's that sucking down that I think is a prolonged grief in a lot of ways. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's as I'm climbing out of that rabbit hole that I've been in for the last 10 months, slowly I'm seeing the light here. How is it then, and thank you for that, because it does make sense, but how is it then that we can, so I never repeat this pattern, maintain that individuality and not get lost? Because I've done that with family. I've done it, you know, it was always everybody else. And then I was swimming through all of their junk, their issues, trying to put the pieces of their lives together.
This is a very good question. And one of the things I want to say about Judy, and I want to say about a lot of you, first of all, women, I was reading about one of the movie stars today who was talking about her version of that, is that we were taught as women to be understanding, to be empathetic, to be right. Blah, 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 you know, and I know guys that are like that too. But also, when you say all that stuff, Judy, and I'm a psychic, and you're pretty psychic yourself, miss. But anyway, I see you being able emotionally to merge with everyone else's needs. And I would say learning when we do that is a hard learning, and it's an essential. It's a very essential learning, whether you're female or male. And nobody ever taught us that. We were taught to get along. I remember saying to somebody who was yelling at me, our problem is we never learned to disagree. That's the thing we have to learn. We have to learn to separate ourselves from people and be who we are, not just merge so you can understand them. And that sounds
simplistic.
It's
almost like giving the larger piece of meat, or the prime piece of meat, to the man type of attitude.
Yeah, it is actually.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was raised anyway.
Me too.
And so in that, right. And
but
so
hey,
in
I
that,
wanna say something
it wasn't
about
me.
But I remember when I finally hit that, we were a bunch of us would do feminist stuff in the 60s or something. And suddenly I was furious because my dad always got the best piece. Now, later,
right.
I wouldn't mind. I would always give my man the bigger piece because, first of all, he's usually bigger.
Right.
And I don't want to get huge, right? But it wasn't
right.
that. It was the assumption. And then I think it's really healthy to get into a snit about these things and really recognize what you've been doing. Not that you're going to change it necessarily. You might still give him the biggest piece of meat, right?
But, right, or the best chair or the best seat in the house, so to speak. But that particular way
I think
of thinking
that's interesting,
was so
actually.
Ingrained in me that I took that to levels beyond that, that every human being that came into my life always got the bigger piece of meat, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's definitely a metaphor, but it's for me, that's the way I treated.
Yeah, but I have to cut you short because we're going to be pulled off stage. But I want to say to everybody at home, I want to say you have to learn to do me first, not in a mean, selfish way, but we have to be able to center that if we're going to have a society where people are living into their dharma, which means we won't be defensive and scared. We'll be able to help each other. We'll be able to build amazing societies. You have to be centered in yourself. And we were not taught that. We have to learn that. And then when you fall in love again, you can bet your bottom dollar, Judy, you're going to share the radiant Judy, not somebody who's concocting ways to make everybody else work. You might always serve people because we believe in that too, but to be yourself first is really important.
Well, I think I'm going to head to the store right now and buy myself a nice big piece of meat then.
Well, and I have to say goodnight to everybody.
Thank
but
you.
I want to say to everybody, please write to me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com or on my website, Veronica Entwistle, and hit the Ask Veronica button and tell me what you think about this radio show. Shall we keep it going or shall we put it off until we can find a slightly different venue? All right. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so
thank you.
Much. And thanks for your call, Judy. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for listening and keep me posted. And good night, everyone. Many blessings.